So I want to start this morning with a little bit of a different short message before we go into the rest of the word. And I want to start by saying that God is a sending God. A sending God. He sends, right? He sends you and he sends me and he sends every one of us to do certain things on his behalf. He sends us maybe to go and pray for somebody, to bring a meal to somebody. He sends us to be, in a sense, to be an ambassador, a reflection, a representative of who he is. And that way, God builds his kingdom. Like, I've never seen Jesus make tea for somebody, but he uses people to do that. Does that make sense? He wants our hands and our feet to be available to him. And sometimes that means that he uses you to go to somebody else's house. Sometimes it means that he sends you to a different place to go and be a blessing to people there, because he wants his kingdom to be established everywhere across this earth. The first way we see that God is a sending God is because he sent himself. He sent his own son. He sent himself to die for our sins so that we could be free. So God is always on the move and he uses us. And yeah, today, God just doesn't just want us to look at that in the context of Stolbaai. He wants to look at it in the context of the nations of this world, because God is a God of all the peoples. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation will one day be before him, which means that every nation needs to be reached. Do you agree? Every nation, every tribe needs to be reached. Afrikaans people, English people, Dutch people, everyone needs to be reached with the gospel of God. And this is where our story comes in. So I think, as you guys know, we've always had a heart to be fully devoted to the ways of God. That's our heart. We want to go where he sends us. We want to be where he places us. And we've always known that for us as a family, that his plan is for us to minister into the nations of this world. We've always felt that it's been spoken prophetically over us. And we believe that. We believe that God has sent us, in multiple places. I think many of you know we've lived before in Europe and in Ireland, and then we came here. So our seasons have always been going around. And when I think back over the last 3.5 years that we've been in Stolbaai now, it's just been an incredible time where we've learned so much. We've been equipped so much. We've grown so much. We've let go of so many different things. And one of the ways God has done that, or he's used us, is, and I think many of us don't know that, but over the last couple of years, the leadership of 412 that we belong to, the partnership, they've asked us to take over a church in Ireland a few times. Okay, and every time when it happened, we put up our hands and we say, yes, we're available. But it didn't happen. The doors didn't open. Okay, but in those times, God used that to prepare our lives. For example, by switching to homeschooling so that we are more flexible, that we are teaching our children in English instead of in Afrikaans. So we made practical changes to make our lives suitable, in a sense, for what he was for us. And it's been a journey of trying to figure out, Lord, what are you doing? I've been to the conferences in Isle of Man and into Ireland to say, like, Lord, what are you doing? I went to Canada last year. And all of that was, in a sense, training time. It was preparation time. And the Lord uses these things to equip us, mostly also to show what's in our hearts. What are your motivations? And those have all been amazing times. And I think now, obviously, as we've wrapped up Church Planters, the course that we just gave feedback last week on, we've really seen that the Lord's been speaking to us as a family since the beginning of this year. And he's really been stirring our hearts to say, like, there's a new season coming. There's a new season coming for us as a family. And we both feel that the Lord's sending us back to Europe, that there's a season coming for us where he wants us to go and to extend the kingdom into nations that don't have a lot of healthy New Testament churches. What we've got here, more people need to see this. More people need to experience this. And that's the heart of God. And I trust that even as we are going to go, that's going to be our heart for all of us. That the heart of the kingdom will be always like, how can we go? How can we advance in places where people don't know the kingdom yet, where they don't know the king yet? So we've submitted what we feel in our hearts and our plans, we've submitted it to the leadership of the churches and then to 412, because there's a blessing in being submitted and there's a blessing in being in unity. And so practically what that means for us as a family is that we're looking, probably beginning of next year, we're looking to move to Ireland where we've lived before and to go and to plant a church there. So very exciting on the one hand. Yeah, very exciting. Also very, hartseer. I don't know what's the right English word for that. But it's more than sad. It's like we love this church. And we love this town. There's a lot of reasons to want to stay and still buy. But in faith, it also means to push through. To say, we've heard from God. We have really heard from God. And there's a long list of things that we've heard from Him speaking prophetically into us, changing our heart's desires. And we also feel that it's not a thing of maybe one day, but it's a thing that's coming soon. It's coming now. And so we'll be here still until early next year, just building into this church, being here like we always have been. But at the same time, starting to make connections, start laying foundations in Ireland, where we're going. And I just want to share the vision that we got. Maybe you can put that picture, Solomon, the one with the houses. This one. So this is a picture that I got about 2 years ago when I went to Ireland. And this is when you land into Ireland. This is a small town called Howth on the coast. And you see all these houses, and in that moment, God showed me a picture of houses in estates, and each house coming online, you almost can say. It comes alive, like the light goes on in each house. And what that represents is that in that house, the kingdom of God has come. The presence of God has come. People worshiping, people loving one another, people prophesying over one another, people sharing the gospel, opening their homes. All of the things that we read about in the New Testament. And then the next house. And then the next house. And as it starts spreading, the communities get formed and congregations get formed. And God has given us this as a vision. And at the time, I wasn't sure what to do with it. But now as we are preparing, we believe this is the strategy that God gives us. Because in the nation of Ireland, people are very anti-religion. They're anti-church. They don't like these kind of words. So it's almost like it's a grassroots thing that God wants to raise up from the bottom upwards, by one person at a time, one house at a time, one community at a time. He wants to go like that. And I think even for us as a church, it's going to be an interesting season, because it hasn't happened often that we are sending people out. But I believe a church needs to be sending people out. Whether it's to Melkoudfontein or Jenningkloof, to Riversdal, or across the ocean, we need to be a church that is sending out, because God's kingdom is always moving ahead. He's always restoring, equipping, and then advancing. And I trust that it will be an exciting journey for all of us as a family, and that it will be part actually of the inheritance of this church, because what's going to happen there in Ireland is actually going to be an inheritance. It's a fruit of what God has done in us in this place. And so we still have a lot of time together, so don't say bye today. But ik weet niet wimpy of jij iets wil bijvoegen. Okay. Praat is klaar. Okay. Okay, so I'll just let that settle a little bit. Can we go to the next picture? Thank you. Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about Stillby, this beautiful town that we live in. And I want to talk about three things this morning as we go into the Word. One is that God is we can receive from God. God is a God who wants us to receive from Him. That's the first thing. And the second thing is that God wants us to be a giving people. Because He's a giving people, He wants us to be a giving people. And then thirdly, that as we do that, as we give, as we go, that we grow. Those are the three things I want to touch on this morning. And as we've been away for 3 months, it has helped us to see how God uses Stillby as a town, but also specifically the church, and I think the church is in many ways. Stillby is a blessing for so many people, right? People come here mostly to relax. They come here mostly to go away from problems. They come here because they want to live a new life. A lot of people have come here because they are going away from maybe a painful situation, maybe from a divorce, maybe from losing somebody, maybe from losing everything and wanting to restart their life in a place where nobody knows them. It's almost like a reset button. And let's go to a place where the circumstances are perfect, you know, where there's no crime, where there's no potholes, where really there's no problems. I think the biggest problem we have in Stillby is dogs that are not on a leash. If you are on Facebook, you will see that's the biggest problem. And as a church, I mean, if I just look here, and even in our lives as a family, God has used Stillby and this season in our lives to heal, to bring restoration, to bring healing in many different ways. I mean, we've heard Neil's testimony last week, right? That's a testimony of healing, a testimony of restoration and equipping, right? And so Stillby, in many ways, for many people, I can think of a lot of stories of people who've come here and they've experienced a level of slowing down, just deep inner healing, rewiring ways of thinking, and actually being brought back to a sense of like, okay, I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for life again. I've gone through this, you know, just getting away from what was tough. Now I've been restored. I'm wondering what's next. I'm wondering what's coming next. And even as a church, we've received a lot. We've received Soul Care this year, which was incredible. We've received so many resources. We've had worship nights where we've experienced the presence of God deeply. We've had communities where we are cared for, where we feel safe, where we can grow. There's pastoral input. There's just so many things we receive. And that's great, because that's a reflection of God's heart. It's a reflection of God's heart for His people. He wants to heal us. He wants to restore those that are broken. Because I don't know about you, but I'm broken. Like, there's things in my life that are not perfect. A lot of them. But that's okay, because God wants broken people to come to Him. And that's where we experience the blessing. So just a few scriptures on this point. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. This is writing about God. He's saying, He is a father to the fatherless. A defender of widows is God in His holy dwelling. He sets the lonely in families. He leads forth the prisoners with singing. So we see that God's heart, His nature, who He is, as His character attribute, is one that wants to restore. He sees the gold in people, even when maybe people don't see it themselves. And I know my wife has this a lot, because she loves going to secondhand shops. And she sees something in whatever is there, and she's like, this can work, that can work, let's get everything. And I'm like, no, man, we don't have space for this and for that, just don't do it. So there's something of God's heart that He's placed in her more than in me. And I hope it balances out. But that's the heart of God. He wants to take what is maybe not perfect and grow it, right? He wants to restore it. He wants to heal it so that it looks a little bit more like Him. That's the heart of God. Psalm 147, verse 3, it says, He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And when you think about all of these things, there is really no greater comforter than the Great Shepherd. There's no one who can comfort, who can guide our hearts, who restores our souls than Jesus. There's no one else. No medication, no psychology, nothing else can restore our hearts like the great shepherd does. Psalm 23 verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. Can we put up the next picture, Solomon? Next one. This one. So in a sense, God wants all of us to go through a time where we're in the hospital. Maybe a spiritual hospital, where he wants to heal us. And that's okay. Like when we go through these times, we shouldn't try to rush them. We shouldn't try to feel like, okay, this is not right because maybe I'm not effective. This is part of God's journey for every one of us. And in different ways, he wants to restore us and he wants to heal us. But for those who've been in hospital for surgeries or for different things, you've probably noticed that once you're in hospital, the hospital does everything to get you out of there as quickly as possible. So you shouldn't stay there forever. It shouldn't be a thing of, okay, I'm just going to stay here, because then you get stuck. If you stay in a hospital, you become ineffective. You lose your purpose and you lose the plan that God has for your life. I'm going to use two other pictures to illustrate the same thing. Can we put up the next picture? This one I made with AI, just disclaimer. Okay, I'm going to use a lot of AI pictures, but that's totally fine. Yeah. So for those of us who have a water tank is great if it collects water. But if it doesn't, let go of the water. If the plug is not unplugged, at one point that thing is just going to overflow. That thing is just going to get fuller and fuller and fuller. But actually, it's not designed to be that way. The plug at the bottom, something needs to be attached to that. So that out of it, it can irrigate the water, the garden, or it can do whatever it needs to do. And the picture of that is that if you compare your life to a water tank, you're not supposed to just collect. Not supposed to just receive. Yes, that's the first step. But from there onward, it's about, okay, now what goes through me? What have I received that I need to pass on to other people? And what is God giving me today that I can pass on today? It starts with being filled up. But once that filling is there, it needs to go through you so that people can experience what God wants to do on this earth. And then the next picture is of a baby. I think probably this mom is looking forward to giving birth, although it's quite relaxing as well. Now, this is not AI, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the mom and the baby don't want to stay inside forever, right? That baby needs to come out. And that's a way, it's a picture of that which God places inside of us. At one point, it needs to come through us so that it can bring forth new life in other people. Because if we just collect, like if you've ever seen a water tank that just collects, there's never flows, it will grow algae and the water will get muff and froth and whatever. But it's only when the river flows that the life of God stays fresh for us. And it becomes fresh for other people. And there's a mystery in that. Because, like I shared earlier, how can I, as a person who's broken, who's got a way of living that is definitely not 100% like Jesus, how can Jesus, who is perfect, how can he work through me? That's like a mystery, right? But Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6 and 7. We can put up the next picture. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that's what he's given us. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God, which is, it's such a bright light, we can hardly contain it. But we've got this treasure, this indescribable treasure in jars of clay. In a sense, in broken, cracked jars of clay. But why? Why does God do that? And Paul answers that question. He says, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. The jar of clay cannot get the glory. It's God, him working through us, who gets the glory. He gets the shine. He gets the focus, the direction. in one of the most beautiful verses that describes that, even the giving heart of God to us, but also for us, to pass on, is Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10. It says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God." It's a gift, not by works. There's nothing you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn peace with God. It's a gift from God, so that no one can boast. And then he goes on, because that's the nice part of that verse. That's like the receiving part. Like, thank you, Lord. It's a gift. I receive it. There's nothing I have to do. Thank you. But then the next verse, it says, "For we are God's handiwork." In the original translation, it says, "We are God's poem." That's nice, isn't it? We are God's poem. He's written us. He's created us to be beautiful. We are created in Christ Jesus to do something, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So if you've been saved, which I hope most of you are here today, if you've got a relationship with Jesus, then before he even saved you, he already had a list of things. He's like, from that moment onwards, I'm going to equip this person. I'm going to fill this person with my spirit so that this person can be the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth. There's things I've got for this person to start doing, to start giving, to start flowing through the good works. And so the picture here is that the gospel, the good news of God, it comes to us. We receive it. But then when it has come to you, it must come through you. There must be a transformed life that shows that the gospel is not just a theory or in a book, but that the gospel is something that changes lives. And I know this happened in my own life. When I was a teenager, I was rebellious. I was disobedient to my parents. I was on the way to do my own thing. And then the moment I gave my life to Jesus, I said sorry for all the things I'd done wrong. That weekend, I had an encounter with the living God, and he changed my heart. It literally was like I got a new heart, because my desires, what I wanted, it had changed completely. Suddenly, I wanted to do the dishes at home. Suddenly, I wanted to be home in time when my parents told me what time to be home. All those small things, he changed my desires. And from that place, the gospel came to me, and it started coming through me to other people. Because other people could see the change in my life, and I could share about what God has done in my life. So every one of us sitting here today, you've got something that God has given you to pass on, right? To pass on so that his kingdom can come through you. Can we put up the next picture? One back. Okay, I missed that picture. I didn't give it to you. A picture that helps us to put this into perspective is that Jesus is in heaven, right? And he lives in us through his spirit. And the Bible talks about that we as the church, we are his body. So Jesus needs hands and feet to reach people. Can you wave your hands to me quickly? I know they're cold, but just wave your hands. Now wave your feet. Okay. Just to get you guys active. Those hands and those feet that you've just waved, Jesus wants to use them. He's called you to be the hands and feet of what he wants to do. He's the head. That's what the Bible says. He is the head of the church, but he wants to use you and me to be a representative, almost like the head makes the plan and my brain decides, okay, I'm going to take a step now. So if the head says go, then the body goes. Okay, you are that body. I am that body. We together, we are that body that acts out the will of God on this earth. And then what happens? We're talking about receiving from God. We're talking about going, right? But the beauty is that as we do that, as we receive from God, we grow. We grow in our understanding. We get anchored in the love of God. But then as we go, we grow. And I think many of us who've been on any type of mission trip, or any of us who've allowed God to work through them, you realize that actually you grow a lot as you start giving. As the life of Jesus starts flowing through you. I remember the last month of Church Planters, I had to preach 5 times in 3 weeks in different congregations. That was very stretching. It was very stretching. I couldn't use any of my old preachers, because every time I would try to do that, the Holy Spirit was like, I want something fresh for this congregation. So I had to put my hand to the plow and say, okay, Lord, again this week, what do you want to say? And then prepare. And it was late Saturday nights. It was like, Lord, like, help me. I go into a place. I don't know the people. I don't know what's happening in this church. I don't know what you are busy doing. Help me. And every time God showed up. Every time God showed up. And so it took me deeper in dependence and relationship with Him. And that only happens when you start allowing yourself to be used by God. Trust me, if you are going to be hosted, or if you are hosting, you're going to grow. It won't take very long. Maybe the first evening or the first morning, if somebody gives you coffee that you don't like that way, like, okay, it's okay. It's a small thing. Okay, there you're growing, you know. If you do things differently, if you go and you deal with people from other cultures, even in South Africa or outside, you will grow. Are you going to take offense if somebody from a different culture does something differently, speaks differently, has other priorities? You're going to grow. You're going to have to learn to not to take offense. And to learn, like, oh man, my way, my culture's way isn't necessarily the only way. There's a godly way. And that is the mix of all the cultures together. We find it in there. When I pray for somebody that needs healing, that needs encouragement, that I just want to love them, I've got nothing to give. Because they don't need me. They need Jesus. They need Jesus flowing through me to that person. I know for some of you this might be basic. But I want to stir something in us that we become a clean channel, in a sense, an open vessel for the Lord to be used, where we actually say, Lord, I thank you so much for everything you're giving me, but Lord, I'm here. Use me. Send me. I want to go where you send me to go. I want to be available. And so the picture I got, I'm doing a lot of pictures today because my wife told me pictures help. So the next picture is this one. Maybe as you start receiving, your life looks like this, where there's lots of pointy rocks, and it's very sharp, and maybe that's a reflection of your character, maybe you're still impatient, but as the water flows through, as the life of Jesus, and as Him working through you towards other people, you change. Let me go to the next picture, and you become smooth. Right, I hope this picture helps, that as we allow God to work through us, He changes us. He changes us to become more like Him. Because you come to a point where you realize, actually, I've got nothing to give. So I must get out of the way. And if there's sharp edges in my character, which there are, then they need to be smoothened over, because they're going to hurt people. Like, I need to be as smooth as possible that people don't get hurt by anything I do, by the way I look at people, the way I see things, maybe my impatience, anything. It needs to get out of the way so that people experience just Jesus. They need Jesus. They don't need me, or they don't need you. They need Him. So what does that mean for us today here in Stillby? Yaku helped me with a nice quote. He said, we mustn't get spiritually retired. Not retarded, retired. Spiritually retired here in Stillby. We mustn't switch off, become independent, and just relax. There's a season for that in everyone's life where God heals you. But then, like I've shown with the pictures, that part of the healing, part of the growing, starts as we go, as we let ourselves be used, be sent by God. We mustn't become spiritually overweight. We must be active. We must be a spiritual athlete, train ourselves up so that we can go that we are ready and not just receive, but not do anything. So what does that mean for us? Well, maybe it means that Stillbar for you becomes a place that you go from and that you come back to. Maybe you go and visit different towns to bless people there. You visit other churches. You say like, Lord, I'm available. Stillbar is your base, but you go and you come back. Maybe it means that God is using you just in Stillbar as a place to serve into, to bless people, to become a blessing to your neighbors. To say, Lord, how can I be available for you to work through me towards other people? And maybe it means that God is actually sending you to serve into the nations because he wants to reach this whole earth. But whatever it ends up to be for you, God wants this church to be a sending church. Whether you're being sent across the river to go to Spar to pray for somebody, to go to the next town, he wants to send you so that his kingdom can advance. And maybe you're saying, well, I'm not qualified. I can't do that. You know? Then I want to encourage you to say, you don't have to be qualified. You don't have to be qualified at all. You just have to be available. That's all you have to do. Because God is not looking for people to be qualified before they can go. Like, then we'll never go. As long as we're available, that's all God needs. And then it's him who works through us. It's the jars of clay that are broken that shine his light the brightest. Or maybe you say, well, I can't do something in front of people or, you know, anything like that. Then I also want to say, you don't have to do anything in front of people as long as you come before Jesus. And then you're available to go in front of one person. That's all you need to do. Show them Jesus. Just practically, cook a meal for somebody. Go and pray for somebody. Arrange a social. Share your testimony. Help with watching the kids. Host a com group. You know, bring a prophetic word. There's so many things. And God has placed something in each person here today. None of you have received nothing. You've all received a gift from God. A talent, an ability that he wants to activate to his glory so that his kingdom can come and that people can experience Jesus. So I want to wrap up, I want to end off in maybe there's something in you where you've realized that you've come to that place where you've just been on the receiving end and you haven't been giving. Then the Holy Spirit will show you if that's the case. And then it's a great opportunity to turn from that and to say, Lord, I want to become available again. I thank you, Lord, for how you've been healing and restoring me, but I realize I've been the blocker. I need to pull that plug out of the water tank so that your life can flow through me to reach other people. And because the Bible says that he has prepared good works beforehand, it means that there's something for everyone. All you have to do is to say, Lord, show me, what can I do? I'm available. I've got open hands. I'm going to open my time for you. What do you want me to do? And then obviously what you can do as well is you can ask maybe a comm leader or one of the elders to say, help me find that thing. What do you think God has placed in me? Help me. How can I use that? How can I mature in that? How can I activate what God has put in me?